So how's everyone practice?
So today is the 7th of April. So we will continue our study of the 12 links or interdependent horizons. So we have shared two classes, we have shared about the the four conditions and six causes, and last class we talking about further on that, and we also talk about the first three: ignorance, volition, actions, and consciousness. Last time we talked quite a little bit about the four wisdoms. So did anyone remember the? So we review a little bit before we go into the the next. Number 4, body and mind. So we have two sides. One is polluted mind, and the other is clear mind. Remember last time I presented. And on the polluted mind, we have ignorance. And on the clear mind or true mind, we have what? Understanding, right? So we always try to present the challenge into different aspects. One aspect is deluded. Whenever the mind is deluded, it causes a lot of problems. And I think that's what most of us have. That's why we come into this world, the deluded mind. Carry with it with karma, and whenever the deluded mind is stronger, and then it brings us a lot of pain and suffering, and that's what the Buddha described this world is. This samsara world is a suffering world. And most of the sentient beings that we born into this world, we are more stronger in the deluded mind. But doesn't mean that we don't have that, the clear mind or true mind. But because we live in, mostly we live in forgetfulness most of the time. And when we look back, we do a lot of our action is fall into some kind of deluded, or some kind of unclear, or some kind of vague, and because of the ignorance, elements of ignorance. And if we have more ignorance, and then we have a lot of suffering in our life. But if we have, as we slowly we practice, we transform that ignorance, and slowly the light shows itself, just like whenever it's snow, and it's, or it's cloudy, and it's fall, then we don't have a lot of sun, and we feel cold, for example, on a snow day, or we feel kind of depressed ourselves. Whenever there's no light, for example, like if you live in a city or in a state, that's a less light, for example, Seattle, that's why Seattle, they have a lot, not many, much, very much light, so a lot of people fall into depressions. It's the same thing our mind, whenever our mind is deluded or is have a lot less light, then we feel kind of not very motivated. Motivated because of ignorance, but not motivated because of a clear mind. So as a practitioner, we try to light up, you know, to awake ourselves. So to bring more light into our life so that we can see. So as long as light is, and then if the ignorance is absent, then should be a clearance, a clarity. So we feel more energetic. For example, when you have a lot of light and you enjoy doing things, right? And so that's why if we have less ignorance. So the practitioner, as a practitioner, we try to light up more. The how to clear our mind more, make our mind more slowly, more clear every day. And because of ignorance, and we have fear on volitions. So volitional action here sometimes is create the karma aspects. Create, or generate the karma. But at the same time, we have motivating energy, right? So if we have more on the right, on the two mind, or on the clarity side, then we have motivate energies. And that motivate energies feed on. It helps. And if we have more motivate energies to work on, then we have that leading us into the four kind of wisdoms. So the our six organs, the first five will be transformed itself. And then we have eight consciousness. And the first five will be transformed into wisdom of wonderful realizations. Wisdom of wonderful realizations. So we have like the eight consciousness to work with, and later on we'll develop on more on that. And the mind consciousness transforms itself into what? Wonderful observation wisdom. But in normal life, we don't see that. We don't see that we have that. We have that, but because we don't see, because we fill up ourselves with all this kind of unwholesome seeds, or we live with forgetfulness. So we don't see that. So we, as long as we have more contemplating and see, so we bring ourselves more into light. And the next one is manas, is the seventh consciousness, and which is always hold on to into the eighth consciousness as a self. Self, and if we have the bigger self, then we will collect, we have a lot of collisions in our life. So that kind of self makes us suffer. The manas. Everything is ourself. The whole world, where even we have the whole world, we're never satisfied with ourselves. The self never satisfied. And because the seven consciousness always discriminate self and other. Separation, create separations. Always that. Because of its free self on ignorance, on others, volitional actions, based on unwholesome and greedy, one of the three poisons itself. And it's create a lot of judgmental for self, manas. And every object that encounter is turned into its mind. This is what kind of object is encountered. So it's a self. Even the fire aggregates as a self. As non-practitioners, and we see that in everyday life. As with young children, and we don't have a lot of practice. You know, even children, they don't have any toy, but you give them some toy, and they identify themselves, that is them, or it's my toy, for example. And it's fight, children, you know, we around children. But at the beginning, if there is no toy, they don't see anything, they don't say, it's mine now. But as long as you say, oh, this is you, this is for you, now it's identify themselves, give them a bear. But there's some children that say they're able to let go. They play for a while and they say, I got bored of that. I get rid of it. I give it up, you know, and slowly. But you, if you as a parent, you say, oh, this is for you, but you know, to play, but not to, to attach onto it. So as a parent, as an adult, you play a very important role to show them that. But slowly they learn, you know, as they mature, they will learn, and they have to bumble into different things. And learn that, oh, this is actually, it's not mine. But as we grow up, and if we get lucky, we encounter some kind of teachings, people to go into the, do the work of transformation and to untie that knot. Otherwise, we become, self become very stingy. Very, very stingy. And it's hold on to the eight consciousness. Doesn't matter what kind of is what kind of object is encountered. So, and then the next level is Alaya Visnana, which is the store consciousness. And store consciousness is more like neutral, I think, because it's for everything. You know, it's like earth itself. It's for everything. And it's bigger, it's a slight store, it stores everything. Doesn't matter what kind of you want to store, what kind of seed. You can store there a seed of compassion. But then you can store a sea of greedy, you know. It doesn't matter, but it's discriminate. It's not discriminate, it's for everything. So that's why it's able to hold that. But if you have a chance to encourage some practice and make it manifest, so it depends on the condition it's free, then it's manifest. So the condition here is very important for the consciousness. So if you practice, that means there is one condition for you to feed on the seed that you want to grow. So if you practice and every day you cultivate the seed of love and kindness, and the seed of love and kindness in you grow every day, it's keep growing, because you provide condition for it to grow as a skillful practitioner. But if you're not skilled, if people that live in the world and they don't know how to condition that kind of sea, and they condition the sea of attachment, for example, and everything they come to, and the more they get older, the more they become very strong in attachment. And you can see that in every life, or in your family, maybe our parents, because they don't have a chance to practice, become attached to many different things. And you can go into the house of elderly people and you see everything. I always do. They everything to keep everything, you know, they never let go anything. And one time I go to Morrison, that was this, they call a classic house, you know, antique. And I see, I go into that house and I see, you know, like things that like, maybe centuries ago, you know, even the wheel is rusting outside the yard and everything. Mm-hmm. They come and you walk down into the Morrison, you know, down to the Morrison City. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't see that in this place. And I walk in there and I just only see one elderly woman. And she's kind of fragile, you know, and no life. You can see in her face, no life at all. She's in the dark room and surrounded by all kind of stuff. And I imagine how can she be able to breathe in that kind of space. And imagine that you just stay there day after day, and how you will feel yourself. Just like that. So if we don't practice, and every day we just accumulate and become more attachment. Even the little things, small things you want to keep. And that's when you die, and imagine how can you able to let go all this thing. And you will be samsara, you will be reborn in attached to those things, and maybe you reborn as a dog. That's why at the time of the Buddha, you know, like he goes to army and he see the dog, and he see because he's able to see many lifetimes, and he see that dog is the owner, is the father of the man. And he hire go under the ground. So the dog had to be reborn again, and he never go anywhere. The dog never just sit around that corner, and someone come and see, just keep barking, because afraid that somebody will get the gold. Nobody know. And the Buddha come and see and say, you dog, you know, why are you going to reborn to
a higher place, higher realm, and a few days the dog died, and the owner don't know what happened. And he asked the people in the house, and he said, a few days ago the Buddha, Gautama, come by and back and say something to the dog. And the owner was loving the dog, loved the dog so much, he was angry at the Buddha, very angry at the Buddha. And he come to the monasteries, to the Buddha's place, and scold the Buddha, you know, yelling at the Buddha, you know, what did you do with my dog? Now my dog is dying, you know, you have to replace my dog. and the Buddha said that, you don't know that dog is your father, last life your father. And now he's so attached to his goal. He's reborn to the house and to keep that ghost. If you don't believe me, go and dig that place. And the man go and dig the place and there's ghost back there.
Oh yeah?
Yes. So you watch out. Whatever you attach on, you know.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's the story of the Buddha.
So, can I ask a question?
Sure.
When my mother died, she had stored all 9 rooms of stuff in my house. And after she died, I gave it all away because I don't need it.
Yes.
So
it depends if her wish is to give away. Maybe your mom, I don't know, if your mom wishes is to give, you know, to share that gift with everybody.
Yeah. Well, she wanted me to give it to all her grandchildren. So I, you know, through the years, I've been giving it to all my nieces and my nephews. I don't want to move it.
Yeah, no, it's because sometimes you start thinking you never use, even your clothes.
Yeah.
You look at your clothes. Even I have a few clothes, but not very much, but, you know, and I look back and some of the clothes I never use because it's been there. And you have the tendency you want to buy. Every time you want to, you go to the shop, you want to buy something, even though you don't use it.
So if she leaves everything, she left everything to me to give away for her. If I give it all away, then does she have to still do it over again because she didn't give it away?
No, because she, as long as somebody, you have, she have the wish to give it away, then. Then that means she's able to let go.
Even though she didn't give it away. She couldn't let go.
She couldn't let go, but at the moment, at the final moments in her life, she said, oh, I couldn't keep this. Even my body, I couldn't keep it. How can all those things, how can I keep it? So, you know, better help me to give it away.
So now it's up to me to give it away.
Yeah, but her wish, her last wish.
Yeah.
You know, she finally, she realized it, you know, after whole many life, many years of her life, she didn't realize that. Even her body, she couldn't keep it. How can she keep it? So at the last moment, she realized it, awake. So she's able to let it go. And that means her consciousness is able to go. Something, yeah. So just like, you know, like, just like the 7 consciousness, they always try to keep everything, accumulate. The more it accumulates, the more it feels happy. But the reason that is, didn't know that the more you accumulate, the more it becomes a burden. Burden for you. How can you carry all this happy stuff to your next life? Even you have $1 million in the bank, able to carry and to carry with you in your next life. The only things you can go with you is your karma. That's the Buddha saying. That's the owner. So we better watch out our action every day. That's your ground. That's where you. That's your possessions.
I think we delude ourselves. You know, even if you say, okay, I haven't worn this shirt for 5 years, say, oh well, okay, I'm not going to be attached. I'm going to give it away. I'm going to give it to donation.
Yes.
But you're giving away something that you don't covet, you don't have attachment to. So you tell yourself that you're not being attached because I'm giving away something, but it doesn't mean anything to you. So is the practice to give away something that you covet or something that you treasure to help help with that practice of breaking the attachment. Mm-hmm.
So at the surface level, if you're able to let go, first you have to let go the thing that you don't need. But the practice, to practice already, is even the treasure thing is you, the final moment is the things that you treasure the most, you're able to release, then that's your realization. So even your body, somebody, they donate the body. You see, your body is the most changed thing that you treasure, right? In this world, in order to survive. But people that are able to let them go and donate. You know, some people, they do it out of, other people, they do it out of compassion. For example, they donate one of their lungs, for example. There's people, there's that. So that's bodhisattva work. And if they're able to do that, you know how they must treasure, realize some kind of practice in life. And their compassion, their love, they've been developed on that. And those people, even what doesn't matter what form they are bodhisattva. You know. And for us, even like, for me, it's really hard right now to donate one lung, you know? I have to realize myself that, you know? That's for one lung. Even though I know that one day I have to go, I'm able to give up anything, but now the lungs, for me, is maybe not yet. Not yet. So we go back to our star consciousness. Store everything. So what I want to say here is, store every kind of, all kind of seeds. But as a practitioner, what kind of seed you want to develop? To water. So the best fall is the fall immeasurable. The fall immeasurable mind. That is the best seed to water. For every moment of your life. Remember that. Compassion, love and kindness, joy, and equanimity. So the final is equanimity. See, the final equanimity is to let go. So if you're able to let go the three, you know, the love, the compassion, the loving kindness, the bliss, the joy, you have to let go. But the more you let go, the more it will be developed. That's the trick. That's why the
paradox of love, not to be attached to the love object.
Mm-hmm. That is the intelligence of the Buddha. That is the insight of the Buddha. The more you let go, the more you get developed. Because you have more space. You have more space to embrace it. So the final is equanimity, is equality. You look at now is there is no longer enemy and no longer friends. You see that everyone has bodhisattva. Hi, Wendy.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Hey, Wendy.
So the practice that you select, we call selective practice. You can, so if you live in it, if we live in ignorance or in blind, then we water, every day we water the greedy seeds in us. We try to accumulate, right? Mm-hmm. So we water that. Instead of water, letting go. And that is the samsaric sentient being. That's doing that. So you only not let go of material, but also mentalities, physical and mental. So we're talking about mental here, we're talking about all the the 51 mental formations, the 51 mm-hmm. in Buddhist psychologies. Because at the end, the final realization, we have to transform all that 51 mental formations. All formations. So I just want, that's the review of what we talking last time. So now we go into motivating energies. We can say it's aspiration. So this is the positive side, the Taoling. So under consciousness, we have first five. So the first and then this transforms itself into realization. My consciousness. My consciousness is turned itself to wonderful. The reason realization. And mana, mana is turn itself into wisdom of equality. And the eight consciousnesses. So this is the negative side, unwholesome side of the link of the 12 interdependent horizons, and this is the positive side of it. So always have some positive and one negative side, one positive side. So this is what last week we studied. So now the next one. So can I erase it? Mm-hmm. Any question you can ask, or the fourth one is mind and body. Different emotions.
on that.
So are these the same 12 links that are in the Wheel of Life?
Yeah.
The diagrams that go, the pictures on the outside mm-hmm. wheel?
Yeah. And so this, when the mind and forms feeds on ignorance, then it's create pain and suffering for us. But at the moment it's transformed. So we call it it's positive, transformation body. So this is because I write this is like a linear or you know, but this we can draw the circle you know of the 12 number 12 and mix this and the circle. So like at the end, you know, 12, death and decay will be connected to ignorance. See the circle, if you draw the circle, you can see it. But because I write it out like this, and, it looks like a sequential, but it's not. So for mind and body, when we don't practice, if we live in forgetfulness, we can commit a lot of different things, different negative actions. You can commit the 5 killing for body. Yeah. And your mind can think negatively for different. And the body can do the 5 unwholesome actions. Go against the 5 training, and that's what happened to many people. They use their body and commit with killing, stealing, lying the body to body, speech, and mind, sexual misconducts, alcoholics. And if we if we fall into that categories, then you can see that create a lot of suffering for this body. But look at the body of the Buddha or saint, the body of Jesus, for example, or body of the Buddha. They have the same body, right? Same name, form, or nama rupa, or. But they do different. They walk into different directions. So it's the same sentient beings, the same body, but carry out different actions, commit with different actions. So that's why we call transformation body when we do the wholesome actions and feed on understanding. Then you bring a lot of benefit to yourself and to society. So if you have the choice of what to do with your body and your mind, that's a sentient being. So if you live in awakening, then your body do different, totally different actions. The actions always the actions of transcendence, the negative things. So you create karma, but positive karma. Positive karma. But you look at the body of Buddha, he do action, but how come he don't create karma? As long as you have, still have karma, even positive karma, then you still be reborn in a possible realm. You can born into the realm of God, for example, if you have good karma. Okay? But in the case of the Buddha, he don't create karma. So that needs some kind of contemplation. So if you have negative karma, you reborn into the evil world, for example. Or in a place that no food, in a place that no medicines, maybe Africa. But there is Bodhisattva in that era too, you know, where is the place in Iraq, for example, war. And there is Bodhisattva. Bodhisattva everywhere. They take different forms. Yeah, African American, there's Bodhisattva. Maybe Martin Luther King do the works. So we cannot say, just look at their body and form it, say, and label that they are poor or they're maybe poor in material, but rich in heart. And you see that happen everywhere. And you go on the streets, and people are very poor, even beggars. Some beggars, they are Bodhisattva. To born into that, so that they can help those poor people. And Bodhisattva that born as a human, it's a regular human, but they, for example, social worker, they go into slum and do the works. Do you think they do it for rich? No, I don't think so. And social worker, they go into house and family. Broken house, broken family, to help. So those people, they play the role of Bodhisattva. If you want to be rich, you want to be some Bill Gates, it's different. Well, Bill Gates can be too, in different form. He do a lot of charity. You know, if like in the time of the Buddha, there is a, we call Vimalakirti. I don't know whether you read the sutra on Vimalakirti. And he's the richest man, like Bill Gates, during the Buddha's time. And he tests all the disciples of the Buddha. And he do all kind of works. He's we call him a Buddha, but manifest as a layman. He go into slum, he go into bar, club, strip club, and to help. And even the greatest Manjushri or the greatest disciple Buddha afraid to encounter him. Because his intelligence, his insight is non-duality. So he transcends the reality already. Doesn't matter what kind of works he does. So they have the body, but the body is different, do different kind of works. It's the same thing as us. You have your body, you have the choice. You have mind, you have your body. So you choose to do things. And you choose to practice, but you choose not to practice. You have the choice. And nobody pose authority on you. You have a total talk. So I will talk about that later when we do the. So I just try to write out all the. So the next one is number 5. So number 5 is the 6th sense organ. So this is where the practice will take place. The 6 sense organ and the 6 sense objects. And later on we talk about the contact, but now right now, because when the 6 sense organs contact with the 6 sense object and they give rise to the 6 sense of consciousness. So this is where we need to work here. Because you have, as a human body, right, you have 6 sense. Organ, 6 sense consciousness, and 6 sense objects. So the 6 sense organ is eye, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind, right? And the 6 sense object is what? What is the object of the arms? What is the eye? It's the object of the eyes.
What
form.
Is
form.
Sight. Or form. Right? The eyes have forms, right? Or sight. Ear have what?
Sounds.
Sound. Nose.
Smell.
Use no tongue. Tongue.
Taste.
Body.
Touch.
Touch. And objects. My is what is the object of my?
Object of mind.
What is my? My is the object of my is all phenomena.
Mental formations?
No, all phenomena. Whatever you see is the object of the mind. All we call all phenomena. Các pháp, all dharma is the object of the mind. So whenever the six senses come to contact with the six objects and give birth to the six sense of consciousness, which is the eye consciousness, ear consciousness, no consciousness. So you know when you come tap into that, you when the ear you see the form, you see the sight, you see some house, for example, and you have the consciousness of that. We call eye consciousness. So your eye consciousness. So whatever you see is become a see in your consciousness. Whatever you come into contact with, that becomes see. That's fall, you don't see it, but fall into right into your star consciousness. It's there, so it's light there. So for example, you see your watch for this life, for example. And you don't realize that, and it's become a see. So next time you see your watch, and the sea is already there, it's up, and then you see, ah, that's the watch, right? So if you witness, for example, an accident, and a terrible scene happen, and you see that, and that becomes a sea right away, and then it's fall into consciousness. And if it's terrible, and then late at night, it manifests itself again, and you become, and you get a horrible dreams during the night. So you select what you want to see. For example, if you want to see a scary movie, Halloween movie, yes, and you feed yourself on that, and you don't know, as some psychic people, if they don't practice, they don't know that. And you see a lot of killing or murder on a Halloween movie. And that's, you see that, and your eyes come to contact with the objects what you see on the movie. And it's, and that objects become seized and fall into your consciousness. And it's like there, maybe in many lifetimes, maybe if the right condition, it will be manifest. The right condition. So it's waiting for the condition to fit, then it manifests. So if as a practitioner, you be mindful of yourself, what you see, and you don't want to plant a seed in your consciousness, you better see some kind of motivating, some kind of nourishing for your practice. Then you select that to see as a movie. And we live in a society that we see everything. You go to the... even something that advertisement you see, and all that into, so it's become a part of memory. See in yourself. So suddenly you come in, and suddenly you in contact or encounter some kind of object that you never see before, but you realize the function of it. You know the function of it because it's already in your consciousness. Now it's the condition, it's free, so it's manifest, and you see it right away.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. As you're talking about this, I'm curious. You brought up a car accident. So someone sees or is in a car accident that's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that waters that negative seed of fear or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So how would that person And every time they hear or smell or see an accident, those same emotions come back up.
Yes.
So how would a person practice to try to settle all those emotions so they're not so intense?
So as a practitioner, when you see the accident, you give rise to compassion right away, right?
Mm-hmm.
You cultivate the seed right away. Compassion, send immediately energy of compassion to the person into the situation right away. And you, as a person, you can see, you can practice, contemplate on impermanent, and practice, give rise immediately to compassion for yourself and others. And once you see impermanent, and what can you do? You be careful, you see? That's why you take courses of what you drive. You're driving. So it's a practice. So once you give rise to compassion, bring up compassion, then you slowly, if the compassion is present, understand present, then fear slowly is there, but subside by itself, you see that. Because if you don't practice compassion, then fear come and it's overwhelm you in that moment, and that fear is become a seed and it's fall back. But instead of you give rise to compassion, and compassion embrace you right away. You see, the Bodhisattva, they go into the scenes, for example social worker, they go into scene of suffering and they work. But if they don't know, your motivation is good at the beginning as a worker. But if you don't know how to practice, then you will overwhelm also. Just the same thing as psychologists, for example. They work to help people to transform their some of the afflictive emotions, suffering. But slowly, if as a psychologist, they don't know how to practice, they overwhelm and just come back and hunt them. And I see that, I attend a retreat and I know that some person is that, they are a doctor, but they don't know. So they come to taste, I met them at in New York with taste retreat. And they, psychologists, but they work as a career, for example. And they themselves have a bunch of suffering because they're overwhelmed every day, they just listen. The same thing, we see the scene of accidents. Every day we see the scene of that. If we don't know how to practice, we fear a lot of emotions coming up, a lot of fear, a lot of scary in us.
So then if a doctor or a psychologist practiced compassionate listening or compassion with their patients,
mm-hmm.
their own emotions of fear would
is there, but able to slowly transform.
Uh-huh.
See,
okay.
They have the capacity to transform that. So if you are a doctor, but if you are a doctor as a career, then it's different. As a doctor, as a practitioner. So you give rise to different energies.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see every day you witness something that impermanent. You die, you lose surgery, for example. And you see, every day you see that, you know, how impermanent as a body is. So, and you take it as your practice, it is different. But if you just practice air, you know, just work as to earn money. And some doctors, they do stupid things. They manipulate their career. So here we have the insight, we have the mindfulness, we have the practice. So come back to the 16th organs. So just the eye already. So the Buddha said that if you want to live happy, you have to guard your eye sense, your eye, every day. So you come into contact, for example, with nature, so your eyes become more fresh. Just for yourself, every day you can feel yourself like a scary movie. How can you, and your eye, you feel your eye with that? How can you be like fresh to look at people? The eye of love, the eye of compassion. How can you do that? Because you are full of that, afflicted, full of fear. So this is where the practice needs to practice our body. The Buddha have eyes, just like us. The Bodhisattva have eyes like us. But they have the eyes of love, the eye of compassion. They don't see the things that make them so suffering. Even though they see the sin, but they have the compassion, the love, the insight. So the eyes sees the same thing, it become a practice for them. Develop more love. Develop more non-fear so that to help people. But for us, we overwhelmed with fear when we see movie. And the ear the same, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, the same. Ear. Instead of listening to Dharma, you listen to like music that make your ear broke, you know, like it's too loud. Huh? Too loud. Imagine that you feel yourself every day the sound, that unpleasant sound. You can. So later we go. So we go through 12 rings to the different body, the same things. We look at the aspects of Bodhisattva as aspects of practitioner and as back up samsaric being. So every day you have to guard the six organs. So what kind of seed you want to plant in that? So what about people that blind people? They have they can see. Right? So can they plant the unwholesome seeds? Can they? That's a question for you.
Can their sight?
Yeah, they lost their sight.
Well, their other senses are heightened.
Yes. Yeah. So if they don't plant seeds on the eyesight, they plant seeds on ear. For they are very sensitive on ear. If people are lost the eyesight, they're very sensitive. Even though you move very gentle, they're able to hear it.
Would that be the fifth mindfulness training, guarding the senses?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Guarding the senses. So, it's very important to practice mindfulness here, to guard all our six senses. So the six senses can bring us happiness, joy, bliss, but at the same time, the six organs can bring us tons of suffering. And this relates to consumption. Sixth sense is related to the fifth mindfulness, consumption. Because the eye, what you see is you consume. It's related to that. Do you have a question, Steve? It seems like you have.
I don't think it's a question yet. it seems like you know, what I'm thinking of is when I'm meditating and a car on spear honks its horn, so my ear, the organ, comes in contact with a sound, mm-hmm. a car horn. And it seems like I have a choice
mm-hmm.
that maybe that's the act of guarding, but not to reject it, but to just let it come and go and maybe even use it as a mindfulness bell. So it seems like...
Mm-hmm.
That there's another level of guarding or a deeper level of guarding that it's actually not being ignorant of it,
mm-hmm.
to go back to the
yes.
first link.
Mm-hmm. So as long as you have the mindfulness and everything, you turn everything into the tool of practice. Just like the sound of a bell or a horn, you know, or a car horn, it can be very disturbing, right? But it's at the same time, it can be a calling. Right? It can be a calling. to be, when you hear that, you're able to stop and stop your thinking, stop your running, and you can use that. So it's it depends how you use it. So that's why when we move beyond non-duality, so that's why I told you previously the bodhisattva of non-duality. So they don't look at horn, at the sound of the horn, car horn may be disturbing, but something that's beyond. So that we have to transcend that into the practice, and it's in who we go beyond that. So the matter is to bring in your awareness in all situations, so that you can give rise to whatever you need to practice. That's the crucial. That's the essential. Just maybe the yelling of the child, it can be very disturbing. But at the same time, you can see that, oh, you know, you can see, oh, he's still very healthy, able to yell you. Right? Then you give rise to compassion. Yeah. So every object, organs that contact into the objects, is give rise to some kind of consciousness. And
could you say what mind contact, what mind is a sense organ, what the object of that is?
The objects of mind?
Yeah.
Oh, object of mind is everything. All this is all phenomena, the object of mind. Because you see one thing, for, you know, maybe for this pen, is my object of my mind, right?
So it's just seeing, hearing, smelling, all those are objects of mind.
Yes, also.
Mm-hmm. Is it like a concept that you have? I mean, so there's the pen that mm-hmm. I see, and I have the perception of it, but then I have this concept of pen as mm-hmm. well. That
yeah.
could be kind of a mm-hmm. distinction that might help.
So everything that's around you, everything that you're able to see is the object of the mind. And everything that you come into contact with is the object of the mind. So mind is, it's kind of more bigger picture. Okay, have any question on this here? So this here is our practice, because we all have this six sense organ, six sense object, and whenever we come into contact, six sense of consciousness arrive. So in our everyday, we have to guard this with our mindfulness, so that it can bring you some kind of happiness in your life, and joy in your life. What you want to see that motivate you. You know, you want to see something that's really motivating you, and it's something that's motivating you, is then it gives you energy for life, right? Energy for life. For example, if you see a movie with Dharma top, then it gives you a lot of motivation or practice. So you choose to see what you want to see, and what you want to to manifest, to generate in your life. So whatever you see, whatever you come, you create karma, because with intentions. And it's a miracle that the Buddha have six organs, but he don't create karma. And because he's go beyond duality, nandu. He aware, but he aware everything's happened. Right? He aware everything's happened. But because of his attention, because where karma is generated is when you put attention to it. So the awareness of the Buddha is pervaded. It's pervading. It's universal. So this that kind of, you need to do some contemplation on that. See. So the positive signs of the six sense organ and six sense object is the result body. So resolve body. So the Buddha have this, and we also have this, resolve body. But the body of the Buddha is different. Because he have all his action is wholesome. Or beyond wholesome. But our resolve body is different than the Buddha. Some of us have the complete six organ, but some of us not. Maybe deficits in hearing, maybe deficits in listening or in eyesight. So the resolved body of the Buddha is the contained clarity, bodhicitta, in the body. Contain four wisdoms. But for us, we might contain some wisdom, but not all four. Some wisdom. At least we have some. Some wisdom. And the resolved body of the Buddha, he has 32 mark, great mark.
On the body?
On the body. You see, I bring for on his feet, under his feet, they have the way of life. The way of life. So we don't have 32 gray mark. We have some, but we don't have 32. So we have the result body have 32 gray mark and 80 minor mark also. It's perfect. His hair is curved. His hair is curved. And have a hair here. It's curved whenever he need to give a Dharma talk and his hair grown out and give light. That's one of the gray mark. His hair. Mirror eyes. Some of our friends have it too, you know. What do you call it? Yeah.
So, Tai, since we are all potential Buddhas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could we transform into that kind of a body? I mean, is that the idea that we have all this, the potential for all of that?
Yes, we all have potential of that. So as long as our action is complete, action of wholesomeness is complete, the Buddha of action of wholesomeness is complete.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we have to do wholesome things. So once, for example, we have our mindfulness is very partial. But the Buddha doesn't matter whether he sleep, awake, or whatever he does. His mindfulness always present, 24 hours. So it doesn't matter what kind of eat, walk, sleep, or meditation is always there. But for us, it's very partial, not complete yet. Sometimes our mindfulness is there, but sometimes it's not. So all of this 32 mark, we all have, but it's potential. Potential. If we complete, there's manifest, but through in our body and our mind. So one day I will share with you the 32 gray mark, and because when we talk about that, we don't really see it. We say that 32, but we don't know what is exactly 32. And one of his gray mark, his normally his hand is like below, like reach under the knee, far reach down the knee, longer. Because that means he's able to reach out for salvation and for help. His hand. So all the marks in his body is designate some kind of work that he does and fulfill already. And his eye is able to see very far because it's not polluted in his way of seeing. But our way is, if the wall, we cannot see outside, but he able to see outside the wall, through the wall. our naked eye we cannot see, but his eye able to see that. Because many lifetimes he has been practiced purely in sinned. So we are not, our sins very impure. We see it with full of desire.
So did that happen, was that, is the story that it happened after enlightenment that he had attained all that, or was he born, is the idea that he was born with those, or?
It's many last time he had done, accumulates many all the actions that he does.
Mm-hmm.
So when he able to realize that and he able to see that, and he tells us that this is what I have done in me. This is where I born, this is the place that I have been born, this is what the world have done. So that's why in Buddhism we say reincarnation is very important. It's a continuation. So this body doesn't mean it's just only this life. It's many, when the body is decay, we continue the consciousness. That's why we're working on this, is the pure consciousness will be continue in different form. It depends on whether your consciousness is blue or whether your consciousness is pure. So we have pure consciousness, lucid consciousness, and then lucid consciousness. Okay, so the result of the body they call contain clarity, contain understanding, contain bodhicitta in this body. But you also have, we as potential. That's why the Buddha never overlooked anyone. Even a child, he never overlooked anyone. He said that you have potential, but not fully developed yet. So I see that in you, so I never can overlook you, you know. Have any other unclear? So if you are not contemplating on this and see and look into that for the next weeks and see what can you, you know, with your practice on the six consciousness, six organs and wherever, what kind of objects you come in contact with and see what happens and see how your energy flow. If you're mindful, you can see that. Someday you contact with a very motivating object and you feel very great. Your energy changed. And that day you feel, oh, so much. Everything you look, everything's fresh. Everything is meaning. But someday your eye, your six organ come into contact with unpleasant objects. And your energy is wrenched. It's out. You feel so low on that day, and you are planting the seeds, repression in yourself. So there is a disciple who asked, where can I find liberations? And then the master said that you look into your eyes. That's where into the sixth organ, that's where you find birth and death. You find liberations. That's Zen story. Go on for you contemplate. So the same than six organ, whether it can be liberation or can be samsara, the same. The people who are awake, they look into the six senses and they find liberations. But not many of us look into that and don't find any happiness at all. So it depends on the level of realizations and your awareness and your mindfulness of practice. So today we will stop here. So each time I share a few a couple of links so that we can look into and practice. And that which I encourage you to look into that and practice and see. Because the practice aspect is very important. I can share with you limitless, many different practices, but if you don't practice it, then it will be like intellectual. You can have some intellectual, but sometimes intellectual can create you a lot of ego and a lot of suffering. So we study here is not to accumulate for intellect, but to look into the practice aspects.
So that's where you can able to transform yourself. So you need some space and practice and contemplate. It doesn't have to be limited into the area. You can practice anywhere as long as you have the mindfulness and awareness. You can walk into the park and you can practice contemplating. Nobody know. Same person walk, but nobody know that you are practicing, right? Mm. And the same walk, people make the same step, but one step is you carry with yourself the energy of life, the energy of mindfulness. But other people make the same step, but they carry themselves with suffering. Nobody knows, it's only you know that you are practicing. So nobody can limit you on the practice. You can practice with your in your office, you know. You work and you practice, and maybe your employees, your co-worker don't know that you are practicing, but you are practicing. So the secret is to apply that in our life so that we can generate some bliss for us. And that is the food for you. Doesn't mean that you eat edible food just to have your body survive, but maybe your consciousness is dying. You don't feel your consciousness, you don't feel your mind with with awareness, with mindfulness. So the same sentient being walking on this earth, same body, but somebody walk with the corpse, living corpse, and somebody walking with aware corpse, aware. So the matter is the level of awareness that making life more meaningful for us and less suffering for us. So thank you very much for your listening. So am I too serious on the I don't want to make it too serious. The practice should be fun and enjoyable. Sometimes I speak with less mice. So always make yourself study to should be enjoy, should be fun, should be interesting, so that enable you to walk far on the path. Otherwise, if you study too much serious, one day you get boring, and your interest die out in the practice. So the practice always have to be joy. Should be interesting, should be exploring, should be investigating. That made practice much more. So, thank you.
Thank you.
So, invite the bell so that we stop here.